God is good all the time. We declare, that song is a declaration. Did you know that? He's the God of this city. So what are you doing for your city? Are you praying for it? Cardington? Mount Gilead? Crestline? Galleon? Mansfield? Bucyrus? All the cities we just listed a little bit ago. Are you praying for them? Or are you sitting there talking about the mayor and what an idiot they are? And the police and how incapable of doing anything right they are. Your Bible does not condone that at all. As a matter of fact, the Bible doesn't condone your freedom of speech. Sometimes it tells you to shut up. And that's one of the times. To pray. You don't have to like what everybody's doing. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because we're all guilty of this. Is there anybody that actually agreed with everything your boss said to do and how they said to do it? No, there's not. I remember a time I was told to stick a train scale from Mettler, Toledo. They weighed trains with it. And I was supposed to blast this thing, 2,000 pounds a shot per second. And I got down, I looked at it, I measured it, went across, I said, guys, it fits through this opening, but this opening narrows by 6 inches inside. This is not going to fit. You don't know what you're talking about. I've got the degree. I'm the engineer. You do as I said. This might have been malicious compliance. I fired it up, and I'd already told my supervisor, and he said, Art, that's what they said. Do it. He said, I know what's going to happen. He stood there as I pushed the green button that said go and jammed that thing up. It took maintenance the rest of the night to get it out. I think somebody got a little butt chewing the next day. I didn't agree with them. And I had to do it. I had to push the green button. But you know what? If we spend more time praying for our mayors, for our city councils, for our commissioners, for our police officers, for our sheriffs, you're going to find your life is going to be a lot better. Just saying. Oh, by the way, while I'm on the whole police thing, I want everybody to know, I need you to understand this. It is now a primary offense to be talking on your cell phone in your hand. In your car. It is state law. They don't need any other reason except, see, you're going to blah, 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 blah. Every one of our phones are capable of Bluetooth connecting by the earpiece. Tap it. Hey, what's up? Drive while you're going down the road. Well, I can't do that. Then you can't change a radio station driving. You need to quit driving. But I'm seeing lots of people still running down the road. Hey, look over here. I'm driving. Ever since I got Bluetooth, I went Bluetooth. It's great. I can even tell my phone to send you a text. Do you know that? It's awesome. Except for, I think Maggie's car didn't listen to her one day. I saw her coming out of the car wash. I honked, waved. No reply. I sent her a message when I got out. And she's like, didn't my car send it to you? And I said, no. She said, well, I replied back, he is everywhere. I am. I will see you on your phone. Hopefully not. Whoops. Yeah. This morning, we are excited to welcome Sally Walker from Heartbeat to share with everything. We're going to do this here in just a second. Also, mark your calendars for Saturday, May 13th for this year's Heartbeat Walk for Life at 9 a.m. If you're interested in walking this year, there are walker's packets on the info table in the rear, and it's a fun way to support such an amazing ministry. Also, this Friday, 4/28, Bible study here in the conference center at 7 p.m. If you need any more information, Rob's in the back. Katie's right there. Next Sunday, 4:30, Compassion Cafe will open at 9:30 to 10:15 in the conference room for a nice hot breakfast. It's always a blessing. And all that money we send to ministries to support people that are hungry, people that have lost their houses, people that are hurting. Kind of the calling of the church. Amen. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for your goodness, your kindness, and for all that mercy and grace that you bestow upon us. Lord, we are grateful to be called your children, your sons and daughters, heirs in Christ Jesus. Father, we present to you today our tithe, not out of legalism, not even because you made a promise with it, but simply because it is yours and it is right. So, Father, we present it to you now in Jesus' name. Receive it as holy. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and those super kids are dismissed as Sally comes forth. I'll take that one. I think she needs this one.
Told me to be seated and come forward at the same time.
Yeah.
I was confused.
Yeah, I can see how that can happen.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for letting me come and give an update for Heartbeat. Stack together nice and neat. But unlike our lives, it does not. We know this. So I have a PowerPoint with me this morning if they get that fired up. We worked on it earlier, but I don't know if it'll work. So if it does, yay. And if it doesn't, hey, there it is. So just starting, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. There are no mistakes. God has never made a mistake. And so he knows us in our mother's womb before we're ever born, knows every hair on our head. And when he created everything in Genesis, it tells us that he spoke everything into existence except man. He took the time to form us of the dust of the earth, breathe his breath of life into Adam, and also bear his image. So we are bearing God's image. We are. If that doesn't scream that you're important to God, then nothing will get through to you, because we are vitally important. In the next slide, there's a statistic, and I don't like it. But as of last year, 14% of pregnancies end in abortion in Ohio. In my opinion, that's 14% too many. And at Heartbeat of Morrow County, we are there to help women with their pregnancies, and we are there to help our families as well. Some people who want to say, well, you'll help them get the baby here, but then what do you do after that? Well, after that, we help with diapers, and we help with wipes, and we help with baby paraphernalia, and we help with lessons to help you be a stronger, better parent. We help with all kinds of needs, and our churches are there to back us every time. Our next slide just kind of tells us what we already know. We've been in Morrow County since 1985, and we continue to help families at Heartbeat of Morrow County. Next slide gives our address and just some information. And again, I know that you guys are wonderful supporters of Heartbeat, and so this is just stuff that you already know. But as you're seeing it, I just want to make sure that everybody has addresses or phone numbers or anything if you would want to jot that down. We do have our mailing address different than our physical address because we're only in the office 2 days a week. The next slide shows how we are supported. And again, I know this is information that you're aware of. We are supported by churches and individuals like yourselves who give us prayer. Most importantly, they help us on a monetary donation, whether that's monthly, quarterly, yearly, just for our Walk for Life, for the baby bottles, through the baby bottle campaign. We have individuals and groups that do baby showers. A lot of women's groups will do this. We also have had Girl Scout groups that have done this, which is very fun to go and share with them because the little girls just love all the little gifts and opening them and seeing. So that has been wonderful. I got to participate in that a couple of times. And then our clothing donations that help to keep us helping families stay clothed. Our next slide shows our Walk for Life, which, again, you just announced that we're having that coming up on the 13th. You can see that last year we almost made a goal of 10,000, and I would really like to see us push hard and get to 10,000 this year. That would be a wonderful, wonderful goal that we could reach. And so if you are interested, like you said, there are papers. I have some papers with me. Miss Sarah, she can fix you up with more papers as well. She volunteers with us, and so if you have any questions or anything about the walk, she can certainly fill you in. The baby bottle campaign is our next slide. And if you'll see, just last year, 2022, we were collecting over 8,000 just in baby bottles. So I have this baby bottle up here to remind you. I brought them with me today to take your loose change. So to lead off of what you said, this is for the kids or they've already left. But okay, you can tell them later. If you see mom and dad with cell phone in their hand while they're driving, make them put money in the baby bottle. I think that's an excellent way to fill our baby bottles.
That works.
We'll kill two birds with one stone there. No, I am very, very thankful for the baby bottle campaigns and for what you do and what you're going to do with them. Because, again, when we all work together, we can do amazing things. Because over 8,000 is unbelievable to me that we can do that. That is our highest amount so far. And then the next one just says, what's happening? So I've kind of given you all this stuff that you're like, we know this. Well, this is kind of the newer stuff that's going on. So if we go to the next slide, we do have several new volunteers, which is super exciting because there are a few volunteers who have maybe retired or their families are just getting so busy and hectic and too much on their plate that they've had to step away. And so it's nice to have new faces. Again, the most important thing I feel is that our volunteers all have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so they all have the ability to be led by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel when it is necessary, when it's needed, when that door is open, when hearts are receptive. And so when our clients come in, we don't bombard them with it, but when the time is right and we've built that trust and relationship with them as they come in multiple times, we can certainly do that. So I'm grateful to have some new faces and new volunteers to help sort clothes and work with our clients. Another thing you'll see on there is security cameras. We've been proactive to put security cameras around the building and inside. Nothing has happened, but in lieu of how our society and culture is kind of changing, pregnancy centers aren't always given a good light. And so we have, again, not received any threats. We had a note taped to the door one time that was just stating their opinion. And nothing has ever happened. So we're grateful for that. And we, again, pray for God's protection over our building. But again, we were trying to be proactive to put those security cameras up. Also, in the last 2-3 years, we've had some wonderful anonymous donations. And those have come to us addressed to Heartbeat, from Heartbeat, cashier's check from the bank. So it's completely anonymous. We have no idea. But they were around $5,000 each of those donations. So that was just a wonderful blessing. We could not plan for that, but God knows that we needed it. And so our next slide just kind of shows our Christmas giveaway. We have wonderful women and men in our community who like to crochet and knit and put quilts together and donate those to Heartbeat. And so a couple of years ago, we were just giving a blanket, and now it has grown to where they get a blanket, a book, and a pair of pajamas. So as you can see, over 60 kids were able to have brand new items. Some of our clients chose to use these for Christmas gifts, and others of them just chose to give them to their kids right away. So that was neat. And then one more thing to add to that, the correctional facility in Marion, they have a group of men who crochet and have made so many blankets for us, and it is wonderful for them. And they know where they're going, and they just love it. So it has been a good outreach for them and a good thing for us to be able to receive all these blankets. Interesting color choices, though, I will say. Just as a side note, our next slide kind of shows inventory. So every other year, we have to count everything in the building. This is not everything in the building. This is actually every year we go through and calculate what we've been able to help families with. So you can see that we had 440 visits in 2022. And on down the list of diapers and wipes and onesies. And there is another slide of outfits, pajamas, sippy cups, socks. And it goes on and on. There is much, much more. But I do show you this to show you that this is what you're helping us to do. This is not just what Heartbeat has done. This is what your money donations, your clothing donations, your prayer, this is what it has helped to accomplish, to help that so many of our clients with clothing and different things. And so our next slide just says thank you, because we cannot express our thanks enough for the support that you do give. And sometimes it seems like, oh, money, they just want money. And it's not all about that, because the prayer does cover anything and everything that could possibly come up. And always, it has not failed, and I've been a part of Heartbeat for nearly 15 years, never failed that we have a client come in who wants something out of the norm, and all of a sudden before they've come in, we have received something out of the norm. And so we've always had either someone who is willing to help or the item itself on hands. And so that has just been a wonderful blessing to see God work and over and over and over in the lives. And so our last slide, I want to leave you with this. Dear children, let us not love with word or tongue, but with actions and truth. And at Heartbeat, we do try to love our clients in action and in truth. We're not going to sugarcoat things because some of them come from a bad place, but we certainly want to share the truth that God can cover anything if you give it to him. And so I will pass out our clipboards because we, that's just how we get the people who want to volunteer or do things.
That is fine.
So step down, hand those out. If you already give to Heartbeat or are already a part of Heartbeat, you do not need to sign up anywhere. Thank you. If you would just hand that around, if you are interested in being a volunteer, participating in the Walk for Life, which is kind of covered right now, and then if you want to be a volunteer, what was the other thing? I forgot the other thing. If you wanted to give donations. I will wrap it up because my time is going. And Art's chomping at the bit to just step on our toes. I know it. I just know it. Just kidding. No, I want to read a letter. And this is a letter to Heartbeat, but it's also to you guys, too. It's from one of our clients, and she says, I am truly grateful for Heartbeat of Morrow County. All the ladies that give their time, care, consideration are so lovely, helpful, and appreciated beyond measure. And always ask if I have a prayer request. Times have been extremely difficult, especially the past couple of years, and I constantly worry about my little ones. I'm thankful to have Heartbeat to help me with anything baby. They really are a godsend. They also have interesting literature and little lessons that have helpful advice from experts. I highly recommend Heartbeat to anyone here having a baby, as they help so many. And I sincerely thank all of those people behind the scenes that bring in donations, and the ladies that make the lovely quilts. It's all so wonderful, needed, and very appreciated. And this client is, she's one of our good ones that comes back in and just follows all the rules and just shares with us how she's growing. And so I wanted to share this with you because really, essentially, it's because of the support of individuals and churches like yourselves that make this happen. So thank you again for letting me come and give an update. Thank you again for what you're going to do for the heart or for the bottles, and I hope to see many of you at the walk.
All right. Thank you, Miss Sally. You know, we obviously we've talked about this a lot over the years. This is something very means a lot to us. I've even run I know I ran one couple out one time when I said, if you think abortion's okay, there's the door. They never came back. I stand to that. I don't really care. If you don't think Jesus Christ is the only way to the heaven, you might want to reevaluate some things. These will all get filled. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I don't know how much toe stomp it's going to happen. Maybe a few shins might get kicked. I don't know. The message I've got for today, I think I said something last week about maybe we'll do that one next week. Well, I think that one might be on hold because the Lord stirred something in us, Angela and I, this week. We were sitting around in the morning having our coffee, and boy, we just got rolling. We both had our Bibles out. We had our phones out with Bible Gateway looking up scriptures, and it's like, all right. And I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to have to go to work. I don't want to have to go do things. Which actually, technically, that is my job, what I was doing. But the Lord really began to open some things. You know there's a theme in the Bible? First off, can anybody tell me what the first word in the Bible is? Now, what's the last word?
Amen.
Amen. I used to do that to the boys. I was waiting for one of them. All right, boys, what's the last word in the Bible? Amen. In and amen. Last two words. Means absolutely nothing. But there's a theme that runs from Genesis to Revelation. Did you know today's message is entitled Tree to Tree? Genesis starts off with trees in our story. Revelation ends with a tree in our story. And in between there's another tree. See, we've overlooked a few things. One of them is that God's been telling the story the whole time. But we want to know how to be blessed. I want blessing. I want healing. I want to speak in tongues. I don't want to speak in tongues. I want to prophesy. I don't want to prophesy. How about you just shut up for 5 minutes and do what God said to do? He never told me I had to do any of that. He just said, I have to love you. To the point that I lay my own life down. We know what Jesus Christ did, right? He literally laid his life down. He could have picked that life back up. He could have called legions of angels to come and deliver him from what was happening. He could have done it, but he didn't. In this country, we have freedoms. Why? Because people wrote a check, and that check was their life. See, in our story, we begin in a garden. A beautiful place, not a literal garden. God had a wild jungle, I believe, everywhere else, but here it was organized. Things grew the way they were supposed to be. They were the example of what God wanted this earth to be. He didn't want smokestacks sticking up in the sky. He didn't want telephone poles and transmission towers. You know, on my property, I don't have the only line that comes in overhead is the one straight to the pole. I've buried everything else because I don't want to see it. I want to see the stars. I want to see the sky without the obstructions of what we have. So in Genesis, we start off with two trees. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Trees are here just for us to look at. Do you know that? God gave me my house because the trees I love to look at are planted along the river on the other side. And I call it a river because it's one of the top two branches of the Cocosing River. But I get to watch those gorgeous sycamore trees. I love the white skins and how tall they grow. But I also like the apple trees, the cherry trees, the peach trees. If you've never had the opportunity to pick a peach right off of the tree and eat it, you have no idea what life is really about. You can do it. Just rub the fuzz off and eat it. Us kids, when we were growing up, we had two peach trees. And Mom had kids with, how shall we politely say it? Yeah, some of you know where I'm going. Scoots. Because we had green grapes, too, at the same time. So and apples. So us kids were always kind of, oh, my stomach. Uh-oh. But God put them all here for us. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Tree of life, that's a simple explanation of it, isn't it? It brings life. Imagine that. A tree, its only purpose is to give you life. But the other one was knowledge of good and evil. What were you to gain? Seriously, ask yourself, what was there to gain? Adam already understood everything that it would take all the way up to Albert Einstein to figure out. He knew everything Steve Jobs had to figure out. He already knew all of that. He named all the animals. Did you ever figure out they knew how to sew? Who taught them? They had no need to sew. We know they didn't wear clothes. What's the point of sewing if you don't wear clothes? But they knew how to do it. You know what story I'm picking up on. So God planted two trees in the garden. One brought life. Now remember, God told them, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will not touch it, let alone eat of it. For in that day, you will die. Now we know the story. They didn't drop dead, did they? That's what they were expecting. See, because it says Eve took of some of the fruit. She's eating it after she talked to a snake. Snake convinced her through persuasive words. Look at its beauty. Oh, but God said we shall not. Did God really say? Oh, absolutely, he did. When God said something, that's the first thing the devil's going to tell you. Did God really say it? You better just play it safe. Why? If an electrician tells you not to stick your hands inside a panel because you could die, are you going to do it? Oh, I don't believe in that electric stuff. You will if you're grounded. One brought life, the other brought death. The tree of knowledge of good and evil did not bring anything but death. What revelation did they get, ladies and gentlemen? We're naked. That's it. That was the knowledge. They were naked. Now, I'm not telling everybody that we need to become nudists. But imagine a world where you didn't have to worry about the cumbersome clothing. Oh, I might burn. You wouldn't burn. Adam and Eve didn't burn. Neither were they as white or whatever color this is. They didn't get these freckles. I'm getting bigger freckles the older I get. I'm not real wild back because I'm covered with freckles. They didn't get all that. They didn't have the harmful effects. The only thing it revealed was their private parts. That's it. You know what a real culture shock was for me? I mean, it wasn't a real culture shock because I had no problem showering at school. The real culture shock, though, was getting in the shower with 80 guys. Ladies that have given babies and, you know, given birth and, you know, doctors and nurses are in and out of there. I've heard, you just lose it. Just forget it. That's the way it is with me. And in the locker rooms, I was like, we're all built the same. We're all the same. But yet, Adam and Eve, that's the first thing they focused in on. We're not the same. We're naked. You need to cover up. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. The revelation they got, ladies and gentlemen, was simply from disobeying God. By doing it. If the electrician tells you not to reach in that panel and touch that wire, and you go up and you grab hold of that main feed, your hair doesn't curl. Do you know that? It starts smoking. You start cooking if you can't let go of it. Or somebody can't take a 2x4 and hit you, because that's what my dad always told me. Take this 2x4 and you stand here, and if I can't get off, you hit me with it. I ain't gonna lie. Remember a few times I was like, he looks like he's stuck. No, God does not want you to be living with that tree anymore. But that tree brought death into the world. We know Adam and Eve did not die that day, did they? But if we read in Peter, where he says a day is as 1,000 years in the Lord, Adam was 969 when he died. He died in that day. He started. I don't believe time began for man until that point. There's no need for time. You know, we a lot of people believe we have no real biblical explanation for it, but a lot of people believe that when we die and we go to heaven, our bodies are kind of like mid-30s. I liked mid-30s. They were good to me. The older I got, things started hurting a little more. 30s, I was still young, still had strength, and I may have gotten a little stronger, but I also picked up a lot more weight after that. Kids kept coming, and like I said, with every kid, I gained 20 pounds. Appreciate that, buddy. So all that eating that tree did was showed them that they were naked, and it released sin into the world. Adam did not die immediately. The serpent had information that was kind of correct, but used deceitfully. You're not physically going to die. And FYI, Adam had to know what death was. You had to know what it was in order to fear it, right? If I tell you there's a vampire back there in that back room, you all know what a vampire is, right? If you don't, they're bloodsuckers. They're politicians. I mean. No, we know that they represent evil. They eat the one thing that God said you do not eat, the blood, because it's life. If I tell you, you're not going to go in there because you fear it. Now, if you believe in the lure, well, you've got a silver cross, oak stake, garlic, holy water, or sunlight, right? I think I've named all the things that can kill a vampire. I was really into vampires. Don't know why, because they scared the holy everything out of me. You understand the danger. If you don't understand electricity, you're going to be the dummy that reaches in that panel and grabs that hot wire. Well, I didn't get shocked. Don't bump the panel now, because the panel's grounded. What do you mean? That's why they wear rubber-soled boots, gloves. There's protection because there's always an accident. So you have to know what death meant in order to fear it. I believe Adam and Eve knew. They weren't dumb. They were just born yesterday, according to what we think. But they weren't stupid. But they saw something. They were humans. You got something I want. You got something I think I need. I believe that it's called covetousness, which is idolatry. Well, I want your house. You'll never be happy. I want your car. You'll still never be happy. Till you find contentment in what you have, you will never, ever, ever be happy. Well, I don't need to be content. I just need to keep putting pressure on God to keep blessing me. No, God blesses those who obey. We're getting off my subject there. So one tree brought life, the other tree brought death. Deuteronomy 11:26 says, "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a cursing." God did that on purpose, folks. God put both of them there. Does anybody understand anything about this world and how it actually works? The Chinese have a philosophy, yin and yang, light and dark, male and female, positive and negative. That's the electrical theory, by the way. You got a positive, you touch a negative, you got power. It requires both of them. Your body requires positive and negative charges created by your nervous system. This natural world revolves around blessing and cursing. Don't know why? I don't have to know why. Do you know that? We don't have to have all the answers. That's what got us in trouble in the first place. We had to have all the answers. They were naked. They were naked. To the church, that's the most awful thing you could be, is naked. I remember going over to outside Armansk in Crimea. And we're going to go to the beach, looking out on the Black Sea. Like, I've never been to the Black Sea. I want to go. I got there to that beach. I'm like, this is a beach? Lake Erie looks better than this. It was Lake Erie back in the 70s. Okay, it just didn't stink as bad. And the first thing I'm told is, watch out. They don't believe in wearing clothing here. You think it's the first time I've seen a naked body on a beach? I've been in Miami, man. But the point being there, folks, it wasn't them being naked that started sin. But it seems to be the only thing that the church wants to focus in on. They wanted something that belonged to God. He's the only one that needed to know. And I heard one preacher said, I believe God was going to show man everything about it. Why? I don't need to know the exact science behind a rocket. I understand there has to be thrust in order to break gravity. That's it. All I need to know. I can sit there and go, ooh, all day long. I don't need to know the rest of the knowledge. Well, aren't you curious? Not about that. Somebody else can be curious about the exact how it works, because if it don't work right, somebody dies. But I put today blessing and cursing, a bless and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. What did God say? You can eat of this tree all the time. You can't overeat on that tree. Eat, 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 eat. And guess what? It won't go to your waste. But the other one, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord. You want blessing in your life? Obey the commandments of God. It's that simple, folks. You want a curse? Disobey. But turn aside from the way which I command you today. If you disobey and turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. What was knowledge? Come on. God says, I'll use the foolish things to confound the wise. The wise are people that just think that they can rely on all their knowledge. For everything, we're created, so we need somebody. I need Richard. Richard needs me. I need Bob. Bob needs me. You see, I don't have all the knowledge these guys have. They have knowledge. I need John. I don't have all the knowledge he has. I have enough to get me by. He's got more. So, I don't need to know everything. But Adam and Eve thought they needed to know everything that God knew. If you knew everything that God knew about other people, how many of you have seen Bruce Almighty? I actually love that show. Because it shows what happens when you can start hearing and knowing about people. The hurts, the prayers, and how it would drive us literally insane. By the way, did you know, I haven't confirmed it, but I have heard him talk, and I think Jim Carrey has found Christ within the last year. So, for those of you that prayed for him, good. For those of you that judged him, not so good for you, because I rejoiced when I heard it. I think he's funny. You may not. He's not everybody's cup of tea. So the tree of life, however, was blocked from man. Do you remember that? In the story in Genesis, we see that the tree of life got blocked off from man. That's the last you ever hear of the tree of life. God ran them out of the garden. set an angel with a sword. They're pretty much just fun in a great big circle of flames. Because there was only one way into the garden. Wasn't like they could just come over a mountain range. There was only one way in. And God blocked it. So they could never reach the tree of life. And I pointed this out years ago about why. At this point, man had sinned. Sin was going to weigh on us. Can you imagine living forever with your sin? If they had continued eating from the tree of life, they had continued lived with their decisions. And through Christ Jesus, we no longer have to, but you still remember. That's kind of why the RIP, rest in peace, you now have peace. Now, Matthew 7:17 says, Jesus said, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. That is pretty simple, isn't it? Tree of life, good fruit. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And again, the only thing it showed them was they were naked. That's all it showed them. But what happened in the next story after that? Cain kills his brother. Follow on down, Lamech, grandson, I think, of Cain, kills another person. And this arrogant little turkey decided, well, if God gave a curse to anybody that would hurt Cain, then be it 70 times for me. You don't get to pronounce your own curse on other people. But yet he was cocky enough he did it. There's nothing else said about him at that point. But you see, murder started. The ultimate sin. Oh, no, the Bible says that the only unforgivable sin is speaking against the Holy Spirit. Blaspheming. You know, blaspheming the Holy Spirit is really giving credit to the devil for something God did. That's what it means to blaspheme. Doesn't mean I don't believe that's the Holy Spirit. That's where control freaks get hold of it. That means you can't say that what I'm doing is wrong. And you say it's the Holy Spirit if I go up and I slap my mother-in-law and tell her to be healed. She's not going to like that. My father-in-law's not going to like it. And my wife certainly ain't going to like that. Especially if God did not tell me. Here's the thing, Smith Wigglesworth, he was a preacher in the early 1900s, punched a guy, had a big old stomach cancer, punched a guy right in the gut. Guy's dying. The cancer went away. Do you know how many people I've heard stand up and say, I'll hit you if I have to? Understand something, God had to tell that man to do that. Otherwise, it doesn't work. God told Moses to take his rod and hold it up over the Red Sea. Hold it up over the Red Sea. I can go do it, and guess what the Red Sea's going to do? Keep on keeping on. It's not going to part. There's no east wind going to blow it dry. Because God didn't tell me to do it. But we see it. Well, this is what happened, and he will do it just that same way. No, not always. If praying for somebody for cancer and I have to hit them in the stomach is the only way they get healed, holy moly. I really don't like hitting people. I know that sounds like a contradiction from those of you that... I really don't. I will only swing as a last resort. Like I said, there's a part of me that may still need saved. No. Good trees equal good fruit. Bad trees equal bad fruit. It brings life if it's good, right? There used to be this transparent apple tree right over here off the backside of Douglas Street. I love transparent apples when they're good. Good ones are just enough tart, they almost want to make your jaws lock up. Those are good ones. The other ones are just, it's an apple. I got to add 5 pounds of cinnamon, a little bit of sugar. before it even tastes right. And I stopped and asked this guy, I said, can I have some of those apples? He said, man, you can take the whole tree if you can get it. I said, why? He said, they aren't good. No. I said, yeah. I went to the truck, grabbed me a paper bag, and I filled that thing up with those apples. I got home and got more flavor out of the paper bag. I even risked all the yellow jackets for them. But he was right. He has since cut the tree down. It's a bad tree. Did not produce good fruit. Now, Jesus was using this as a metaphor with people as well. You can judge them by their fruits. You can't judge them. If you treat people bad, you got problems. It doesn't mean you sit in judgment. It means you, God showed me, and I can pray for you now. That's what that means for us as a believer. Now, let's go to Galatians. Because this is the scripture that started it all for me and Angela. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He had to become the curse. Where was the curse at initially, ladies and gentlemen? It was on the tree. It was hanging on the tree. Christ had to hang on the tree to fulfill the requirement. He had to then take all of our sin upon himself. Not just the sin starting at Adam, the sin till he returns. It's all forgiven. The requirement has been met. It's been paid for. We can live in freedom, but not stupidity. So he took all that sin. But see, there was something else that he took with it that we forget. He took the shame. What was it really that Adam and Eve got? It was shame. They were naked. Their eyes were opened and they saw they were naked. Jesus took that shame, metaphorically and physically, ladies and gentlemen, because I shared with you the other day, they were not hanging on crosses with their clothes on. The Bible even says that the guards gambled for his clothes. They split up his clothes and then they gambled for him. He was on the cross for the world to see in the very shame that Adam and Eve, the two most innocent people to have ever walked the earth, that's where they were at. He hung on that cross bearing that shame. A lot of us have had the dream where you wake up, you're in a classroom setting or something, or you're up here and you're naked. The metaphor for being naked is you're exposed. People can see who you really are. You can't wear Spanx. Can't be like that guy on the internet that's got them injections in his biceps. He's got these honking huge, you got to look him up. It's gross. They're huge. I mean, they're bigger than my thigh, but it's just right here. He's got these little spindly forearms, but this gigantic, and he took this big guy on a, you know what slap contests are, right? If you haven't, you've got to watch them. Holy moly. People just slap each other. Up the side of the head. And the last person standing wins. He went up against this guy who's a champion. He's in Russia. I mean, there's nobody in here as big as he is. This guy is just He's just like this. His arms can't even go down to the side, and all he can do is stick his arm out like this. Whack! And I've seen people go head over heels that he has hit. Well, he takes this guy on. He comes up and he hits that guy, and the guy didn't even flinch. He puts the powder on his hand so they can see where he comes in contact. Gets lined up. Wham! They pick the guy up 20 feet behind him. He got exposed for being a fraud. Everybody knew the muscles were a fraud, but he didn't think he was a fraud. How about the, I think he was jiu-jitsu master. Anybody seen that one? That claimed to have this, Star Wars type Jedi power. People would come at him, he just, and they'd fall, or they'd go flying across the room. You got to watch it. He's serious. The guy thinks he's got this power. Say, Caleb was coming at me, and I just do this, and he goes flying through the room. People are literally jumping and flying across the mats. Then there was a $5,000 bounty put on. Anybody that can beat me, I'll give you $5,000. Well, there was a real jiu-jitsu master in the audience, and he got up. I think the fight lasted maybe 3 minutes, and it was only because they kept stopping the real guy to pick the old guy up. Two punches, it was over. The guy got exposed for being a fraud, and that's what being naked in front of God is about. That's it. That's who you are. There's no pretense. Are you the same person at home? Not 100%, are you? You're putting on the Sunday morning show sometimes here, right? But on the way in, you and the kids were probably... kids were back beating you in the back of the head. And we remember it. Sit down! But you come in here, Hail Mary, full of grace. See, stuff like that, I tell you, we're real people. I bump my head. I dance around for a little bit, holding my head, sometimes crying. I got a few more cuts on my fingers now. What sin did, what the law did, was allowed us to cover who we really are. See, people that will fight, they're a good thing. But according to Ecclesiastes, there's a time for that. People who want to do it all the time, they got a problem. I don't want to fight. I really don't. But I will. And I know most of us in here are in the same boat. I will. Will you love? Well, I don't know about that. I don't agree with them. Listen, you don't have to agree. I don't agree with Dylan Mulvaney, the Bush Light guy. But I got to pray for him. That's what my Bible tells me to do. Pray for them. That's actually harder to do than you think. Because we're all outraged. We're going to get outraged. There's a whole lot more things inside the church we need to get outraged about. So Galatians, did I read all of it? Nope. He became a curse on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So that's the New Testament. Here's the Old Testament of that. Deuteronomy 21:22. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, ladies and gentlemen, shame, being naked, taking the fruit, whatever you want to look at it as, was enough. It was a death penalty. Sin is sin is sin is sin, and it's got a death penalty attached to it. It doesn't matter if you are bearing false witness against him. Or you stole something from a sherry. Or you're sitting there coveting Pat. Pat looks at me, what you talking about, Willis? It doesn't matter. Sin is sin, and that's it. Its wage is still equal death. Forgetting that there is a Sabbath and you need a break. There's a reason God put 10 commandments. 10's a number of redemption. If you can live by them, you don't need to worry about whether or not, well, you know, don't know if, you know, is it legal to wear this skirt to church? Well, let's see. What did your husband do when you wore it in front of him? Whoa, baby! What's that telling you? Might need to be a little longer. So Deuteronomy 20, so if there's a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, okay, and you hang him on a tree. This is a two-part. He's put to death, and then he's hung. But it's not the hanging you think. He's hung as an example. He's hung as shame to his family. He is hung up on the tree. He's already dead. They've stoned him to death. He's hanging there as the example, just as they did with Spartacus and all the rebel slaves. For miles they had crosses, and they hung them along the road so that everybody could see. Ah, yeah, this is what happens to these slaves who want to be free, which is why the Apostle Paul said, if you're a slave, do not desire to be free right now. They were under 100 years from that. It was still running fresh what the Romans did. You hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, for he who is hanged is accursed of God. Jesus became accursed of God to hang on that tree. And according to the scripture, he was not left overnight. He was buried. And unaccording to all their traditions and everything else, we know that he resurrected on the third day. So the cross, as I shared a couple weeks ago, always equals death. It's always death. That cross always represents the law. And I'll tell you how I know. Even the Romans had to have a charge to kill somebody. They just let an awful thief, Barabbas was a terrible human being, and they released him. They had to have a reason in Rome. They don't care. They didn't care about the Jews. They didn't care about them. They didn't care about their traditions. They really didn't care. But there's something Pilate did. It ticked the high priest, it ticked all the priests off. But it was the accusation. You'll read about it in Matthew. Matthew and John both record this. And Pilate had an inscription hung above Jesus' head. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. His charge was claiming to be a king. That was the legality of why they crucified him. Had nothing to do with the Jews. They didn't care about the Jews. The Jews weren't good enough to lick the dog poo out between their toes. None of that mattered to them. There was a charge that they had to put up. Law. Legalism. So you need to understand. One tree brought life. One tree brought death. There's different aspects of this we're going to be looking at. Because I really got to rolling on some notes. And I don't have time to do them today. But I want you to understand, first and foremost, your story starts with a tree and ends with a tree. All right, let's stand. Oh, hold on, I forgot a scripture. You just stay standing. This will be quick. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. What was it that started the whole thing? Did God really say? Persuasive words, folks. Did God mean it when he said you'd be free? Did God mean it when he said you'd be healed? Absolutely he did. He meant it. I don't know why people sometimes don't get healed. I don't. It's not my job to go in and figure it out. Well, it's lack of faith, brother. How do you know what their faith level is? It's not for you to judge. Nowhere is that given to any of us to judge another person's faith. Because they probably already endured 10 times what you've ever endured. Anyhow, now we're done. I separated that scripture a little too far away. Don't let people steal what God did, what Jesus Christ did on the cross for their legalism. Well, you know, you can't eat pork, brother. If your doctor tells you to back off the bacon, you better back off the bacon. He's got a reason for it. But if you want a BLT from time to time, knock yourself out. Have fun. Eat it. Enjoy it. Guilt-free. There's a lot of food we eat on there besides pork and oysters that people fight against. Rabbits. Things of that nature. Squirrels. But we'll get into some more of that stuff later, but I just want you to understand. God's not done with any of us yet. And this all ends with another tree. Amen? All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you did not leave us under the curse of that first tree. Lord God, that you sent your Son to resurrect and to become life, to fulfill, to put the curse back on that tree. So, Father, I thank you that we are free from that curse. Father, help us all now as we live our lives day to day. As we move in and out of people's lives, Father, may they see your glory in us. May they feel your presence. And Father, if we're struggling with things, help us. Lord, your word says you would not let us go through a temptation without providing a way of escape. Remind us when that way of escape showed up. And to take it. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. I ask, Lord God, that you bless them. You move in their lives. And, Father, I pray for peace right now in Jesus' name in this situation. I ask, Lord God, that you continue to move. You know what the devil's doing, but we know what you can do through this. I thank you, Father, that you're moving in them. Father, you're settling this in their spirit in Jesus' name. And, Father, I bless these people. I ask that you keep moving. Reveal your word to them. Stir in them, Father, your goodness and your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.